Good afternoon and welcome to the White House for a very special Open for Questions event. For the past year, West Wing Week has been your backstage pass to everything that's happening at the White House and with the Obama administration, your guide to everything at 1600 Pennsylvania. And today, we're celebrating the one-year anniversary of West Wing Week, and you have the opportunity to meet the men behind the curtain. We have Josh Earnest to my right, the Deputy Press Secretary for the White House, and whose voice you've heard narrating the West Wing Week videos, and then also Arun Chaudhry, the official White House videographer and the creator of West Wing Week. I'm Corey Shulman in the Office of New Media, and for the past couple of weeks, you've been sending in hundreds of questions and comments on Facebook and through whitehouse.gov, your questions about West Wing Week, and we've got a stockpile we're going to answer. You can also join a live chat that's happening right now on Facebook. If you go to whitehouse.gov/live, you can start submitting your questions, and I'll be scanning the live chat and also asking some of those. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to these gentlemen and start with the first question that comes from Louise Begley of Northern Ireland. She's in Belfast. And she asks, she has two questions. Hi, Josh and Arun. She asks, where did the idea of doing West Week come from? And Josh, were you always a person who was going to narrate, or was there an audition process?
Sure. Well, first of all, it's good to see that we've gone global. That's kind of fun. Arun should talk about this, because Arun really is sort of the a creative force behind West Wing Week. But he is somebody who, when he started the position as the White House videographer, it was a brand new position, and I was getting all kinds of interesting footage. And after a while, we were sort of struggling with how to sort of best put this into a form, into a vehicle that would allow us to sort of live up to the president's commitment to transparency and give people across the country, and apparently people like Louise, people around the world, the opportunity to take a look behind the scenes at the White House and really live up to the president's commitment to having the most transparent White House in history. So, Arun, do you want to talk about that process a little bit?
That's exactly right. At the end of every week or so, I would have all this great footage and no real place to put it. And so West Wing Week is basically is the vehicle for all this behind-the-scenes footage that we wanted to share with people but didn't quite know how. And I think the real thing that made it work was selecting a week. A week is a short enough period of time where I still think it's very relevant to people, throughout the week, but is long enough period of time that we're not struggling to try to, put something out every day, for instance, which, we had tried and was nigh well impossible.
The second part to her question is there anything that you've planned to feature on West Wing Week that's been overruled by your bosses? Is there anything that you still want to show or feature? How does that approval process work?
Like any other, photo or image produced by the administration, it is looked at by the comms and the press shop, of which, Josh is part, before it goes out. But I will say, and I get asked this question a lot, the two reasons things end up on the cutting room floor, and there really is basically two of them, is one, there simply isn't enough time. The president did too many things in that week to, keep it within the time frame we like to do. A lot of times, events things that were interesting and cool, something like the Motown event, for instance, just didn't have time that week to include in West Wing Week. And the other reason is sometimes I think things are funny that other people think are non sequiturs, and that's my own problem as an artist.
That's true. Well, I also think that there's a little bit of a creative balance in terms of the number of things we're trying to accomplish in one short weekly video, in terms of trying to convey a genuine sense about what it is that the president accomplished that week. But also trying to conceive of what his priorities were, sort of what he accomplished and what his main priorities were in terms of what he focused on. But we also want to make it interesting. We also want to try and give people a unique look at what happens at the White House. And so trying to strike the right balance of being serious about the tough challenges that the president confronted that week, while also trying to add a little bit of levity and a little bit of spontaneity into a video. And trying to strike that balance means that that sometimes there are serious things that are left on the cutting room floor, and sometimes it means there are more spontaneous things that don't quite make the cut at the end of the day. But trying to find that right balance every week, I think, is the principal challenge.
So we've got a lot of great questions coming in. If you're just joining us, go to whitehouse.gov/live. Click the link to join the chat that's happening right now on Facebook. We've got a lot of questions and comments actually about this cup. It's a White House coffee. For those of you that are curious, a lot of chatter about turning the cup. Okay. This question comes from Leilani Martinez, and she asks, how does government create compelling videos? What's the recipe? What are three things we should consider when we're trying to produce interesting videos that are more than just talking heads?
I think, at least from my perspective, you hit the nail, you know, right there, which is trying not to rely on talking heads. You know, especially something like West Wing Week, we try to show things in action, on the periphery, how they're working, because, I mean, as informative as it can be having someone simply just sit down and explain to you what's going on, usually having a variety of different inputs, I think, is the best way to explain things, which is why having a sort of variety-ish show like West Wing Week, I think, does well for us.
This next question comes from Meredith Morgan of Houston, Texas. She says, hi, Arun and Josh. My first question is regarding my favorite West
Wing. Someone we know, isn't it?
I think we know Meredith.
I think we know this particular
Hi, Meredith.
She asks about her favorite episode, Dispatches from Sudan. How and why did you decide to focus on this area of the world? And generally, how do you decide on what stories to pick out from all of the events that happen in a given week?
I can speak to Sudan, but maybe first you want to address the normal kind of back and forth.
Sure. I mean, the truth is that the schedule that we put together for the West Wing Week is based on the president's schedule that week. That we'll lay out what it is that the president's done in terms of the most important things that he's tried to convey to the American people that week. Sometimes it's a bill signing, sometimes it's an interview, sometimes it's a set of remarks, sometimes it's a trip, either overseas or to a domestic location. But a lot of it is looking at the president's schedule, trying to pick out the highlights, and stringing together a narrative of what it is that the president has focused on that week and trying to use, again, using the West Wing Week as a vehicle for providing some insight so that people have an alternative way of getting a sense about what it is that their president's been up to.
And, you know, if you're a regular West Wing Week watcher, you know the president's a rather busy fella. But there are some small gaps in the schedule, and when one of those had come up, I had talked actually with the director of the photo office, Pete Souza, who had suggested, you know, why not show some of the president's policies in action where they actually occur, not necessarily in Washington. And that led to us shooting Western Week dispatches from the Gulf Coast, which centered around the oil spill and the government response to contain it. And it ended up people being very interested in seeing those actions on the ground. And so we then did two more, one of which centered around the change of command in Iraq in August. And then the second one, the one that you mentioned is your favorite, which was in Sudan, which was an amazing opportunity to travel with General Gratian, who's the president's special envoy out there, and to see exactly how, when the president wants something to happen, how does that actually unfold on the ground? You know, it's obviously a complicated process, but however we're able to show it, I think it really adds to the understanding someone can have of the administration and enhances our commitment to transparency.
This question comes from Michael Fly. The question is specifically for Arun. For the professionals in the audience, tell us what you shoot with and what you edit with and do motion graphics with. Thank you.
Of course, I am not endorsing any product, but I shoot with a Sony EX3, which I like. I like the microphone we use on it. I'm very particular about my microphones. I use an 80s era 416 Sennheiser shotgun microphone only. It's the only microphone I'll use. That's right. You laugh, but it's the only thing I'll use.
Yeah.
And then edit on Final Cut Pro on, you know, a laptop much like this. But, you know, any port and storm, if I'm out there needing to shoot something and I don't have my camera with me, in fact, let me show you something.
I think we're going to go the replay here. Is that right?
Yeah.
Come on, one more.
This is on my iPhone. I was walking by the basketball court and Reggie was shooting and he insisted. And then I was like, well, maybe I can use this for West Wing Week, so why don't I try to get the wide angle version? Nothing.
Brick City from Reggie.
Yeah, it is. But I didn't want to show this clip because he didn't make the center shot, so it shouldn't be embarrassing for Mr. Love, who, as you know, is an accomplished basketball player.
Great.
Gear talk. That was good. Gear talk.
This next question comes from Norish Adams in Tallahassee, Florida. It's been very informative and enjoyable to watch West Wing Week videos. Do you have a way to allow viewers to recommend other topics for you to cover?
I'm going to shoot this question back to Corey Shulman, I think.
Well, I have feedback. Maybe we need a tool, a widget.
A tool, a widget? Well, thank you very much for your question. We are always...
Great idea.
It's a great idea. We're always looking for new opportunities to engage with folks, and we will absolutely look into that, and I hope you continue to share your ideas and maybe hop in the chat if you're watching this live and share some of them now.
And once a season, we do a mailbag day West Stream Week, where we answer letters from folks, and those come in from the correspondence office. But you know, that is definitely a way people have suggested things as random as how many chimneys are there at the White House. And so dutifully, we climb up the ladder and we check it out. I think it was 26. I don't actually recall. I'll have to go back to that episode.
Great. If you are just joining us, go to whitehouse.gov/live. There's a link to join a live chat that's happening on Facebook. We're getting a lot of great questions. This next one comes from Marilyn, who's another international viewer in London, but she's also from San Francisco. She says,
It's getting late there.
I love West Wing Week and tune in every week to get my USA fix. I'm homesick. My question, there's some serious stuff and some fun stuff. Who has the final say on the weight of each? And how far in advance do you plan each program? Does the man approve? Has he viewed them all? And can we get more behind the scenes and Beau, please?
That's a lot of questions.
A lot of questions. I wouldn't even know.
Marilyn would fit in well in the White House briefing room. I'm trying to squeeze in a number of questions into one.
So who has final say in how far out do you plan in advance? Start with the first part.
You know, I think we'd all like to plan more in advance, but you know, folks are really busy. And it seems like there's a Thursday every week, which is the day that we edit West Wing Week. So basically, get started right away after the first one's up, thinking about what's the president's schedule. So I took, you know, actually to tie in one of the other questions you asked, you know, how do we figure out the balance of whatever? A lot of that is just determined by the schedule, which we usually get at least a few days out, but it's very fluid, very changing, and it requires a lot of all-week stick-to-itiveness to get it up.
We've definitely done our fair share of takes and retakes as the schedule changes over the course of the week. So
yeah.
there's an element of the president's schedule that changes with some frequency, which means that we can't plan too far in advance. Otherwise, we'd spend most of our time redoing what had previously been planned. So there's definitely an element of doing some retakes and doing some edits and adding a little language here to try to make it all fit together and work. In terms of sort of wrapping it all together and trying to make a final decision about what gets in and what gets out, it's a pretty collaborative process. There are a number of people who are involved both in, certainly Iran is the principal driver of that process, but in terms of sort of trying to strike the right balance in the end, there's a collaborative process of some other people in new media and certainly in the communication shop in terms of making the decision about what the final product looks like.
And if by the man you're referring to the president, that's what we call him in America. He does not approve it before it goes up. He only sees West Wing Week in bits and bobs, you know, whatever his secretary or Reggie or Brian Mosteller are watching in the outer Oval Office, you know. So he sees little bits.
Marilyn is watching live. She says, "Thank you for asking my question."
Thanks for watching, Marilyn.
And she still wants more behind the scenes and more Beau. Just
Beau's a tricky one. He's difficult to photograph. He's elusive.
So this next question comes from Gabe Fleischer in St. Louis, Missouri. Why did you pick Josh Earnest as the voice? Did you have an audition or something?
We did not have an audition. I'd actually worked with Josh previously on some other voiceover work, developing his reel. How to Caucus. The Citizen's Guide to the 2008 Iowa Caucus was our first collaboration back on the campaign. And then we had another collaboration earlier working on maybe a kids movie that I think I'll actually show in a second. But I think Josh just has the right voice for it. I have tried to do it a couple of times when I've been on the road, like in the original draft of the Iraq, Dispatches from Iraq, I did the voiceover. It's one of those things, you think anyone can do it, but anyone can't. No, you can't. It was bad. You're hearing it now. Can you hear this, the kind of the nasal thing? It happens a lot. I messed that up, but we can do this anyway. Anyway, this is called The President's Apples. Take it away.
The White House 101 Edutainment Program. Episode 1, The President's Apples. Many of you noticed the bowl of apples that sit on the table in the president's office, the Oval Office. Some of you observed the shininess of the apples. Others pondered the seeming deliciousness of the apples. One of you even noted the ubiquitousness of the apples. Very good. Use your words.
for the more average viewer out there, I thought we should review The President's Apples.
Las manzanas del presidente.
These are the President's Apples. This is the President of the United States. These are the President's Apples. This is the President's Desk. The Resolute Desk.
El escritorio del presidente.
These are the President's Apples. And this is the Prime Minister of the Netherlands. But all of this begs the question.
You know what, actually, we got to, not only do I want to move on, but we need to update this because I believe this Prime Minister of the Netherlands lost an election. So we're going to have to update the movie.
We'll have to update that one before we release it there, right?
Yeah, we're going to have to get on that.
Well, Stuart Manton just chimed in on Facebook. Stuart says, more videos on apples, please. So maybe you can work on a sequel to that.
Yeah, but we didn't tell you how it ends. How do the apples get to the president's office? And who brings them? See, when I did it, it didn't sound as good as Josh. The other thing I just want to say about Josh's voice is that I take on Thursdays or Wednesdays when we do a lot of the narration, I take a little bit too interest in what he's having for lunch. He'll be like, I'm just going to have lunch first. And I'll be like, no honey, no, you know, I have a whole list of stuff I don't want him chomping on before we get down to work.
It's very demanding work. It seems like the least I could do to serve my country, though.
The next question, this comes from Peter Groff. He says, good job, guys. What do you do with the outtakes or excessive film? Peter's writing from Woodbridge, Virginia.
Every single scrap of footage that is taken is saved and put into the presidential records. And none of it is allowed to be erased, in fact, according to the Presidential Records Act. So even if I'm just shooting overexposed something or shot on my shoe or something, like, it's saved and put away. So, you know, when you get ready to demand your Freedom of Information Act things, you can be like, I would like to see a run shoe, please.
Thousands of hours of entertainment for presidential historians decades
from now. It should be very interesting, and I think it'll be an exciting thing.
This is a good follow-up to that from Duncan Wolfe, a writing from Greencastle, Indiana. How many hours do you shoot each week that ends up in West Wing Week? How many hours do you shoot generally? How many hours does it take to edit each package?
I would say I shoot between 2 and 4 hours every week, which is probably less than some people might think. I can be selective. I like to. My motto is shoot video like it's film. And then, how many hours? I would say between 9 and 12 hours total, like eyeballs on computer time, till it's actually up.
And Duncan continues. He had a few more questions. Who comes up with the title for each episode?
Arun does.
And I will say that it's not easy, and that it makes me have a lot more respect for folks like Letterman and Letterman. I think people have like this, you know, they have to come up with something that's sort of funny, like their monologue, like every single day. You know, I kind of feel like that some weeks. I'm like, I don't have a title this week. But we have one for this week. So Open for Business will be up tonight at midnight.
That's a good plug.
Yeah,
nice work.
And this is the final question in the series from Duncan. How has West Wing Week evolved since its conception?
It's gotten tighter. They used to clock in an average of 8 minutes. Now they clock in an average of 5 minutes. We had these sort of plugs from the agencies, but it became too much to coordinate in the beginnings. And then, Lauren Page's improvement was so good. Yeah, her idea would have to always have an intro to West Wing Week, explaining kind of what the focus was that week, which is fantastic for me because it's one more place where I can put, you're talking about what happens to the outtakes of the outtakes. Might be some beautiful shot, but that just doesn't really work in explaining something the president was doing, but I really want to use it, you know, helicopters, sunset, that kind of thing. Always work that into the intro, so I'm happy that I get to kind of save, you know, one last level of shots. But other than that, it's the same old show.
Yeah. But sort of, I think what we've, the principal challenge when you're dealing with something like this is sort of how to organize it and put it together in a coherent way that sort of serves all of the goals that we've talked about. And so I think what we've done is we've made some tweaks as we've gone through this process of trying to organize it a little bit tighter, and I think that's how it's gotten a little bit shorter, and the intro at the beginning sort of serves that purpose. But
and you figure out new things for your toolbox, you know, like whether or not it's the intro thing, or, you know, all of a sudden we're like, oh, these split-screen montages really get us through. We actually had a funny idea for a montage in the pilot West Wing. People are talking about how it's evolved. There was actually, I was trying to explain to people I wanted to make this show, and I was like, well, why don't you just put one together and show us? And so we did, but it hasn't been aired because it was just, you know, so people could take a look at it. But there's a sequence in there where we condense how a bill becomes a law into a very quick couple of minutes. Take it away.
The bill itself was the star of the show Monday when it began its journey from Capitol Hill to the White House to become law. First, the bill was presented to Speaker Pelosi for her signature.
This is the health care bill, by the way.
Then it was taken to the Eisenhower Executive Office Building by the Clerk of the House and the Parliamentarian in the Senate. From there, the Executive Clerk took it to the West Wing to be signed by Vice President Biden in his capacity as President of the Senate.
Your signature goes here. All right. Slide this over here.
His is the best office to shoot in. It's the only one that's got these beautiful blue walls, you know? I think originally I thought that it'd be a lot more kind of like bits like this in West Wing Week, and it's just turned out to be too difficult to execute them on a regular basis. You know, this one was easy because since it was just a pilot, there was no real deadline on it, and so I, you know, could have more fun with the editing process.
This next question comes from Mary in Atlanta, Georgia. Does the White House videographer, I think she's talking about you, have the same rigorous schedule as the White House photographer? I know they have more than one photographer, so are you looking for an assistant videographer? If so, Mary is available.
Oh, I wish, Mary. Well, actually, how soon can you get here? It is Thursday. I would say that the chief official photographer, Pete Souza, is probably with the president 95% of everything he does. I would say I'm with the president 75% of everything he does. So there are a lot of occasions in which I can rest my heels a bit while the photographers are still out there slogging away. The only other thing that I would say is, although there is the additional editing work, so, you know, I'm able to work in the confines of my office when I'm not struggling to keep up with the president.
Let me interrupt you. The other thing that people may not know about Arun is actually the first White House videographer in history. So he's really been a trailblazer in terms of making this job what it is and sort of using the new tools of the internet that we're obviously demonstrating here today. And using sort of a small camera and that sort of technology to really provide a new window into the White House for people at home and people all around the world, but also for historians. So it's really it's interesting to see what Arun has done with a job that literally didn't exist before.
It's just the right moment, isn't it? Just where the technology is meeting the mm-hmm. public appetite mm-hmm. for this kind of material.
I think it's both of those things. I think that it also has to do with sort of the president's own commitment in terms of really trying to look for new ways to engage people and to inform people about what's happening. But it also is it's turned into a vehicle where you could really harness the unique talent that you could bring to this job. And this is one of those rare occasions where there's literally nobody else at the White House who could do what you do on a regular basis because of the skills and talents and experience that you have. So it makes it's an interesting way to sort of see how government is trying to live up to 21st century technology and that even in sort of the stodgy government confines that we can look for new ways to try to push the envelope in a way that sort of serves the public interest. So good stuff.
Erica Gudsmanson chimed in. She wants to know how many times...
Where's Erica from?
Erica didn't let us know.
Okay.
We don't know where she's from.
Okay.
She wants to know how many times you record your voiceover before it's perfect.
It generally depends on how much sleep I've gotten the night before. I'm confident that there is a...
And what he's had for lunch.
I'm confident that there is some sort of statistical relationship between the number of hours of sleep I've gotten before the night before and then the number of times I have to redo the audio.
Time of day, too. Morning, you'll knock it out.
Yeah, the morning's a little easier. By the afternoon, I'm dragging a little bit. Generally, the scripts, obviously, the segments are 5 or 6 minutes long. This is the other thing, preparation, right? Having read the script a couple times in advance, spending some time editing it.
If he's read it, I can tell.
It makes a huge difference as well. So, but, you know, we get through pretty quick when we're ready.
This is a way in which Josh is very similar to the president. You know, when we're doing tapings, he is self-correcting. It makes my job very easy. He'll be like, I'd like to do that again. You know, it's not a question of me being like, let's just try one more, three more, you're great, you're gonna be good, this is gonna be, you know. Not a lot of cajoling and old-timey directorship. It's straight ahead, we get it done. We get it done in 12 to 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's about right. That's about right.
Stem to stern.
Melissa Eggleston from Durham, North Carolina asks, Arun, what's your favorite type of White House event to shoot and why?
Favorite temple. Why, do you think she means like of the whole thing, or do you think means it's on campus?
Why were you the ones on campus and then the best event that you filmed off campus?
The most fun things to shoot on campus are definitely outside and with members of the public. So things like the Easter egg roll, or you know, when the sports teams come in, because there's just a lot of excitement and people who normally aren't here come in. And the best way to really, and maybe this is in some ways it's just a personal enjoyment, but the best way to really enjoy your time here at the White House, because it's so much work and you know people are so tired and they're working so hard, is to see it through other people's eyes who come in. You know, and you can sort of really get energized by how excited they are to be here in the People's House.
And there's a good segment like that in this upcoming week's West Wing Week.
Yes.
So we'll, check it out.
We will not give it away.
And then let's do the off campus.
The Oval is really hard to shoot in. The light in there is crazy. It's coming in from all angles, and I get stressed out.
What about off campus? What's the best event that you've shot off campus?
The best things to shoot, you know, the best, and it was actually best trip. The best trip was our trip to Prague to sign the new START treaty. And I think it was because no one had signed one of these treaties in a long time, so there weren't as many rules as there are to like a G8 or a G20, where it's like, you know, all the official photographers stand here, all the official videographers stand here. You know, it was just Medvedev's videographer and I kind of wandering around doing our thing. And so that was amazing. And one of the, I think, the most interesting things to get to see in my job is world leaders interacting on a very mundane and basic level. It can be really wonderful to watch them, you know, just be the people that they are, because we only get a chance to see them in these very, you know, vaulted circumstances. And I think that extends to a lot of things I enjoy shooting with the president in general. Not the grandiose, but the sort of, but the normal. I think people don't realize, you know, how much being president, how your surroundings are sort of unglamorous so often. You know, you don't walk in through the front of a building, you walk in through the back and you go into the freight elevator. And, you know, there's a lot of that happens, and kind of, it's a very interesting take on what the presidency is.
All right, we've got another question that's just come in from Lorraine Fort. She asks a couple.
Do we have a Lorraine?
I think we have a Louise. I don't know if we have a Lorraine, though.
I was thinking about Louise.
Will you still answer her question?
Yeah.
Okay. Lorraine has a couple of questions. What's the most important thing you've learned about politics? And she continues to say, based on your inside view, do you think that the coverage of the president is accurate? And if not, in what way?
Oh, you know, I couldn't really speak to that second question. I think what journalists do and what I do are totally different things. You know, the journalists are there to cover for the public on a daily basis, you know, exactly what the president's positions are on things. And I'm able to take a long view looking at what it'll mean for history, which in all ways is a different job. For instance, you know, today we were in the Oval Office shooting the Emir of Qatar speaking with the president. And while all the press videographers had to, you know, just lock in on what was being said, I have the freedom, because I'm trying to just sort of get the historical impact of it, to also shoot them while they're shooting the president. So, you know, I'm able to kind of literally and figuratively zoom out and take a long view on things that if I was a press person, I just wouldn't be able to. So I think we're in the same places a lot, but we're doing very different jobs.
What
was the first part?
The first part was...
Corey's pulling it up.
She'd already moved on. She tried to work ahead.
What's the most important thing you've learned about politics?
Learned about politics.
That's a really interesting question. You had something you were going to say. I'm going to think about it while you say what you were going to say.
Well, the thing that I was going to say is when you were talking about journalists and the important role that journalists play at the White House, there was some commentary when the West Wing Week first came out about whether the West Wing Week posed a threat to journalism somehow, whether, you know, the White House was going to use this as a way to circumvent the White House press corps in some way. And I think that looking back over the course of the last year, it's actually pretty clear that that's not been clearly wasn't the attempt at the beginning. And I don't think that's borne out to be true. I think what we've seen is that there is a very important role for the professionals who work very hard to cover the White House 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and who do a very good job of analyzing the president's position. It certainly doesn't mean that people who work at the White House agree with every story that's been written about the president, certainly not. But it's clear they have a very important function in our democracy. And I think even some of the tumult that we're seeing around the world, some of that has been rooted in this desire for a truly free media. And I think that there is tremendous value in that. And I think that, you know, what the West Wing Week does is it wraps up the president's public activities in a different way. And I think, if anything, it supplements the perspective that journalists bring to the table, that professional journalists bring to the table in terms of covering the White House. And so I actually am gratified that we, that our experience has yielded a circumstance in which it's pretty comfortable that those two things can coexist and provide greater and richer content from both perspectives for people across the country who are just trying to learn more about what it is that their president's doing.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
If you're just joining us, there is a very active conversation happening right now on Facebook. Go to whitehouse.gov/live to join the chat. I'm scanning a lot of your questions and comments, and we just got one from Parker Moore, who writes from Montreal, Canada.
Montreal.
Great foreigners time. Are dialed in today.
Yep.
Yeah, a whole bunch.
What time is it in Montreal?
I'm just kidding.
So this is a question for Arun. What sort of background do you have in videography, and did you attend university for cinematography?
For cinematography, no, but I did go to film school, in which cinematography was a subject taught. I have a fiction film background, started mostly in undergrad in theory, actually, and then I did go to NYU for graduate school. Which is a general course, so it's a directing curriculum. But inside that, you do shoot a decent amount, thank God, because, you know, 13,000 hours of shooting for Barack Obama later, approximately, I think. I've been doing a lot of shooting, and that shooting has gotten a lot better just based on practice. You know, I'm not a natural cinematographer. You know, I do okay, but it is not my immediate impulse in looking at the film world. So practice is made perfect. You know, the campaign plus all this running around these last 2 years have really helped me focus my craft that way. And now I do think I can, you know, hold my own with just about anybody.
There's a lot of talk about the music used in West Wing Week. Marianne Ree asks if you ever consider changing it to jazz. People are asking where it comes from. And any insight?
Absolutely. I can't speak to that. The president's own Marine Corps band is performing that. And luckily, for all you different genre lovers, the president's own Marine Corps band can rock. And if you've watched West Wing Week a lot, you'll see them in the background playing jazz, playing rock, you know, laying down classical with Yo-Yo Ma. That was actually a great thing that happened a couple episodes ago. So we have a lot to choose from. I think that there's something comforting about hearing the same kind of clarion call in the opening, and I'm not looking to change it that
much. It feels very patriotic, doesn't it?
And it feels downright patriotic, as is watching West Wing Week every Friday.
This next question comes from Mary Smith in Phoenix City. Mary asks, who had the great idea of putting an unscripted twist at the end of each video? Love it. And generally speaking, a lot of people are talking about that, the last unscripted moment. Do you have any favorites? Where
did tonight's
it come
is
from?
Gonna be good. Ellen Simpson.
Well, first of all, we call it the sting, which, yeah, I think is a great example of industry lingo that I've learned from Arun.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of
we
fun.
We put it in
that,
there as the sting.
The sting.
And it's been in there since the beginning. I mean, it's been something we've always wanted, because, I mean, you know, talking about all these things you want to include that you don't get a chance to, like, you know, those obviously crown the list. And so I think we would have all felt disappointed if we'd come up with a vessel for this that couldn't include those moments. What's favorite one? President taking it to the Easter Bunny is pretty strong. I really like that. Try to think of other really good closings we've had recently.
We should have organized and had a couple of those on tap.
We really should have had a couple of those on tap.
I think the best ones are the ones that, one of the things about working at the White House is that there are a lot of surreal moments working at the White House. Certainly walking through the gate every morning, I think, could even be classified as a surreal moment. But there are lots of things that seem surreal. And so I think those are the best stings, the ones that aren't obviously funny, but do sort of reflect sort of the unusual nature of the historic opportunity we have to be here every day and to work here every day and,
yeah,
to work for this president. I think The stings that capture that the best, I think, are the ones that, this would actually be a good appropriate time for me to insert a good example, but I don't have it on the top of my head.
Use your hands here, and I'm playing a clip, and you're imagining it in your head. President is in front of the Resolute desk in the Oval Office with a bunch of kids who've won a bunch of prizes in math. And then a young man asks the president, "Can I ask you a question?" And he's like, "Sure." And he goes, do you know what the foci of the Oval and the Oval Office are? That was, I think, my favorite sting I'm thinking about it.
That's a great example of a surreal one.
Yeah. You know, even the president's look where he's like, what is happening?
The president of the United States in the Oval Office being asked a mathematical question about ovals.
So yes. That's not bad.
That's pretty surreal. Yeah.
This question comes from Sienna Shields. Have you ever considered an East Wing week following the First Lady and her staff from Flushing, Michigan?
Yes, absolutely have considered following her in Michigan, or this young lady's from Michigan.
Sienna's from Michigan.
Absolutely have considered it. Do want to do both a strict First Lady West Wing week and a strict Vice Presidential West Wing week. So we'll see when we can fit those in.
Let's work on that.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about West Wing Week? Can be a moment.
After it's posted and for a couple of days, I don't worry about it.
My favorite thing about West Wing Week. I think the thing that I like about it the most is but there's a certain amount of freedom that goes with it. This is something that hasn't been done in previous White Houses. So much of what we do at the White House on a regular basis is tradition-bound or bound by precedent, and this is what they've always done, so we need to sort of conform with the rules about the way that it's been done before, or at least acknowledge the rules about the way that something has been done before. And so it's actually fun to work on something that is a little bit more organic, that is a little bit newer and fresher, in which we can dictate the precedent a little bit. We can dictate the history of something a little bit. And so having the opportunity to access a little bit of a creative outlet given the other aspects of essentially my day job at the White House is very, very satisfying for me.
You know, I'm unbelievably grateful for all the creative opportunities that I'm given on West Wing Week. I feel like when people see it who know me, they're like, this is sort of exactly like something you'd put together. Like, how is that possible? And the answer is what Josh is saying. It is this new thing at the White House, and people have been very open-minded about how we can keep it creative and keep it interesting. It's been an unbelievably great experience in that regard.
Okay, Melissa Eggleston, we asked a question from her already, but Arun, do you have any tips for budding videographers?
Yes, you know, definitely don't worry about the camera as much as you worry about the microphone. Don't shoot all the time. If you're shooting all the time, you're not looking at what's going on. Shoot shots. You know what I mean by that? Break down what you're looking at and shoot it into the establishing and then what you need to put the scene together. Don't just have one meandering experience through the whole thing. And always be listening. That's pretty good, right?
That's really good.
And always be closing. That's a different movie.
Speaking of closing, we are about out of time. Happy birthday, West Wing Week. Thank you all for joining us. We'll be posting this video shortly on whitehouse.gov in case you missed anything. You can check it all out on demand. Just go to whitehouse.gov. And thanks. Anything else?
I would like to say that I can't believe it's been a year, but I feel like I've felt every single day of that year.
Totally true. Don't forget to check out this week's episode. It'll post around midnight tonight.
Uh-huh. Open for business.
It should be good.